Hey, everybody, welcome back to the Comedy Castle podcast. I am your host, Joel Fragomeni. I'm going to tell you what's going on this week in Mark Ridley's Comedy Castle as we get a little bit closer to the holidays. It's a great week. David Dyer is here. He is the most frequent guest on this show. It's also the 250th show. How about that? That worked out nice. So we'll talk to Dave here, a brand new fresh interview with him here in just a couple of seconds. But let's tell you what's going on at the club. All right, let's do it. This Wednesday, December 10th, we have the Detroit to LA semifinals. That's a comedy competition. We take, I think it's five of these folks that are performing on Wednesday, and they'll be going to the finals to win a chance to go to LA. So it's going to be a great line. I don't know exactly who's on the lineup at this point, but it's always a great lineup. I saw the early rounds of the contest, and there were some really funny people. And the last semifinal that we did a couple of weeks ago was jam-packed. It was wild in there. Everybody turns up for these. So 7:30 p.m. Again, get your tickets for this show and everything I talk about here at ComedyCastle.com, if you will. And then starting on Thursday, David Dyer is here at 7:30 p.m. on December 11th. Two shows on the 12th, 7:15 and 9:45. I was told, and you'll hear it in the interview coming up, I'm going to let him say it, so you have to keep listening. We're going to have a very special guest on those Friday night shows who's really great. He's a funny dude, and you should deserve another reason to come out on the 12th. And then on the 13th, Saturday night, 7 p.m. and 9:30 for David Dyer. It's going to be a great weekend with Dave. Our interview's super funny. We'll get to that in a second, but also want to remind you, the comedy classes that are starting back up in January. We've got the beginner class with Bill Bashar. We also should mention improv with Tam White is a thing that you can do at the club starting in January. I don't know the exact dates on Tam's improv class, but again, call the club at 248-542-9900 for more information or to sign up for these classes. And then the advanced comedy class starts up again January 10th. The advanced comedy class with me, your host, Joel Fragomeni, your teacher, your instructor, teaching you all the things, the ins and outs of being a professional comedian, from writing, performing, getting booked, getting a press kit together, doing all kind of things like that, that maybe you wouldn't learn in the beginner class, because a lot of people, that's their bucket list thing, and then some people want to do it to make money and be a pro, and that's what the advanced comedy class is for. So if you've done the beginner class or you've done comedy for a while, and you feel like you need some help getting to the next level, that's what the advanced comedy class is for. So call the club. Again, 248-542-9900. Believe I'm going into my 12th year of the old advanced comedy class. How's that sound? That's pretty cool. Enjoy it. My favorite thing to do all week. No offense to making this show, but my favorite thing to do all week. This show's super fun. But teaching that advanced comedy class. But what a fun week with David Dyer we got coming up. And again, great interview. Here's the thing about the interview you're about to hear with Dave. No pre-show, no post-show. You will hear the phone ring. You will hear the phone hang up. That is what I did with David Dyer. There are no edits. Nothing was cut out. I do sweeten the audio a little bit in post, as I do for your ears, for your listening pleasure. But yeah, it's just me and Dave shooting it for a while. But we talk a lot about Dave's career, where that's at. His YouTube special with Drybar that he released about 5 years ago has over 1 million views. That's really cool. We'll talk about that special. I'll read some YouTube comments, which, you know, can be a very a fraught thing, I think, for a lot of comedians to go through the YouTube comments. It sounds like he doesn't, but I went through them. But he gets a lot of good comments. We also talk about Mark Ridley's importance to Dave's career. We talk a lot about the Hollygoods. We don't give Mark enough credit on this show. I should be giving Mark credit at the end of all of these shows. Sometimes I forget to do that. But Mark is so important to me and the comedy community. So we'll talk a lot about Mark on this show. You'll hear Dave's holiday plans, what he likes as far as a Christmas tree goes. We'll talk about the New Year's Eve gig that he's got coming up. We talk about hair plugs, which was really funny. He'll tell you who the very special guest is on this Friday night, which should get you excited. If you know comedy, you're going to love this guy. He's a guy who's headlined our club before, but he's stopping in for a special reason to do some short sets And that'll be really cool. So, hey, man, what else can I say? David Dyer is one of the best. That's why he's been on the show so many times. That's why he's been at the club so many times. I'm going to let you listen to this interview. We'll be back a little bit right after this. Here's Dave Dyer.
Hello, Joel.
Dave, good afternoon. Hey. How are you?
Good. Hey, does this sound okay? These are newer ear pods, so I haven't really tested them out.
Well, I think you got the good ones. Based
on good. Good.
Yeah, I'll let this go. I'll let this slide. But I will tell I will tell these comics, I don't care how big you are, get off those, take those out of your ears.
Yeah.
I'll tell them.
Oh, even me?
Well, you know, yeah. But, okay, but you sound good. You sound good.
Oh, okay, good.
But when you're as big as comic as you are, you're going to have the good ones.
Sure. Well, actually, you know what? I had the good ones. Well, I bought some. I don't know if we're recording right now, but I had some Beats that I had, and I got them. Yeah. And like the second day they stopped like every time I used them, I had to repair them.
Yeah.
And then after the third or fourth day, they just stopped pairing altogether. Well,
I mean, what do you want?
I called Dr. Dre myself.
Yeah.
And I said, these things aren't working. And he said, I don't know who you are. I don't care. I got bought out years ago. It doesn't matter to me.
I was going
to
say, well, he's a doctor. What does he know about headphones?
Yeah.
Yeah,
you got a problem with your tonsils? Give me a call. Right. Otherwise,
if your blood pressure sign, call the doc. All right. Yep. So yeah, man. Are we in it? Is this the show? Do you want to make this?
This is it. Let's do it.
This is the show. No pre-show. Let's go.
Let's roll. None of that. None of that. WTF? 15 minutes of here's what's going on with my life. Not here.
No, I actually do that later. But I tell people what's going on at the club. So when we have You know, we have the Detroit to LA semifinal is Wednesday night.
Nice.
And
very
then you
nice.
Start on Thursday. So it's a fun week.
There we go.
So I tell people that. I tell people how to get tickets. I tell people about the comedy classes. If there's a fun anecdote from the week before, I may throw that in as well.
Okay.
Which I'm trying to think. Well, we had Zach Martina in the snowstorm. Well, I told already. No, I told that story already on the show. But anyway, that would be an example of one.
Okay. Was it rough all weekend because of the weather? Did you guys have some bad roads?
Yeah, the roads weren't great.
That doesn't help.
I don't know. I feel like I used to do the Black Friday show when I was a touring comic. I was a guy that they would bring in just local, and it was easy. And, you know,
sure.
But I remember big crowds on Black Friday. I don't know. I think America has changed.
People all spent, they're depressed, they spent all their money, they want to have something lifted up. Yeah. Now, here's the goal. Mm-hmm. I've often thought about this, because listen, I've several times have had small crowds, and you go, you know, the weather was really bad.
Yeah.
I think the goal is, are you so funny that you can override the weather?
Yeah.
To where you're so funny where even if it's horrible conditions, people are still willing to go, you know what? I'm willing to risk my life to go see Dave Dyer for 50 minutes.
Yeah.
That's the goal.
Well, how close do you think you are to that goal?
Long way. Long way. Long way. I mean, look at I'm praying for good weather next weekend.
Yeah, I hope so. I hope it's good weather when the shows happen. But but there's also a thing in Michigan where the third snowstorm of the year, nobody cares about and people just do whatever they want to do.
Right. You get used to it. It's
first one's brutal. Yeah.
The first one, people have completely forgotten how to navigate through it. Takes them a couple days, a couple dingers here and there, and then they get going. So, you're right.
That's where we're at. But a pleasure to have you on. I know we chatted a little
Thank
bit
you.
Setting this up. 250th episode of this podcast is this one as we're recording. And you are the most frequent guest on this show. So I believe we talked about this last time.
How many times have I been on?
I don't. You know what? I would have. I didn't look it up exactly, but it's a lot. It's a lot.
Nice.
Maybe I'll post it on the front page there on comedycastlepodcast.com. But I think it was between you and Adam Deggy for a while.
Okay, There was almost a tone to your comments, but it's a lot. It's a lot. Like maybe a little too much. Yeah, like we were. We may only be doing this because I reached out to you. Hey, are we going to podcast?
Well, that was, by the way, the greatest reach out of all time. That was the greatest. To just be sitting on my couch. is this Joel? Is this your number? It's Dave Dyer. When are we doing the podcast? I was like, boy, you, my whole week of tracking people down was condensed into three text messages, and that was perfect. So
yeah, I'm a professional. Now here's how that happened.
Yeah.
I was doing a gig the other night with our common friend, Mr. Salvatore D'Amelio.
Yeah.
And he said, what do you got going? I said, I'm at the castle next week. And I said, you know, typically they do a podcast, but I haven't really heard from anybody. Yeah. I said, I kind of want to reach out. I said, is Tom McCarthy doing it? And he said, no, Joel's doing it. I remembered I did it when you asked him. Yeah. And I looked in my contacts. I had your email, but not your phone number.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
So Sal gave me your phone number, and that's why I said, hey, is this Joel?
Listen, the godfather of comedy, Sal D'Amelio, always comes.
Yes.
If you got a thing, you got to take care of. You go to Sal. You know what I mean?
Yep.
He does that for you, but he's always good like that. Yeah, and in addition, Tom did the interview. I've always produced the show. I've always made, edited, and posted and done the website for the show. I've done that since show one. But Tom was the interview guy. It was his idea to make the show, and then I got roped in to do the behind-the-scenes stuff, and then I just did it all. So that's how it worked
out. Did Tom start asking for too much money at a certain point, and that's why you were brought in? Is this kind of like, isn't that the rumor of why Tim Allen doesn't do the Pure Michigan ads anymore?
I don't. Oh, really? Does somebody do them for
less? I don't know.
Well, they
either don't do them anymore. I mean, that was like a tremendously successful campaign.
I guess so, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't see the Michigan ads because I live in Michigan. Like, I think people see them in other places. Am I right? Well,
but they used to run them here all the time. Remember when they started?
Not really.
No. Okay.
I don't know.
That was truly, at least I had read, that's the most successful state tourism travel campaign there's ever been.
And Tim is, and you know, I've met Tim. You probably met Tim once or twice.
I have met him. Yep.
Yeah. Great guy. And, you know, he has a relationship with his audience that is almost unmatched. People will follow him.
Oh, yeah.
You know, whatever show it is now that's on, you know, after Home Improvement, they change channels. Wherever it goes, it's a giant hit. Even if it's not funny, people still want, you know, like there's a loyalty that people have to Tim that's unbelievable. Sure. And I get that because he's not unlike you, completely reliable, always entertaining and a gentleman.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's kind of a comfort food sort of thing.
Yeah, I'm putting you in that league, man.
It's kind of a comfort food thing, you know? It's like sausage, gravy, and biscuits on stage.
Now, I was watching the Dry Bar, getting ready to talk to you a little bit.
Yeah.
And that one, first of all, I mean, the numbers on YouTube, I know those are just YouTube numbers, and then Dry Bar has its own thing, right? So there's, I mean, it's 1.5 million on YouTube. That's unbelievable.
Whoa.
Did you know that?
I did not know it was that much, but I know
the full special is 1.5. I'll tell you right now. The full special is, I'm sorry, it's 1.3. I take that back.
Okay.
1.3, and then the clips do a whole nother on top of that.
Yeah.
Hundreds of thousands. So a really successful
it's fun.
One. I'm going to read a comment. Normally I don't. I did this with Zach a couple weeks ago, and then I said, I love these not yet real famous comedians. They're funny because they have to be. That was one, which is that's a little bit of a backhanded compliment, but I think you got to take
Is that mine or Zach?
No, this is for you. This is for you.
Oh, these okay. Okay. Comments. I'll take that.
I love these that's not fine. Real comedians. They're funny as hell because they have to be. 26 seconds in, this guy says. 26 seconds in, and all caps, this guy needs a TV show. That's that's what this guy says based on the first
one. And he's right. I do.
Well, in lieu of that, you have the Comedy Castle podcast, which
that's okay. I'll tell you, listen, at this point in my life, at this point in my career, Joel, I will take anything. I'll take any crowd, any demo, whatever you want to do. Just come to the show and have a good time.
Just come to the show. And you always do a great job. And that's why,
Thank you.
You know, when I say, oh, you're the most frequent guest on the Comedy Castle podcast, it's not because we're friends or anything like it's because you get booked at the Comedy Castle so much, which really goes to your talent and, you know.
Well, you know, Mark has been great to me. And if we could talk about Mark Ridley for a second, the first time I did the castle, I featured and, you know, it went real well. And I talked to Mark because I knew he was starting to manage some comics. And I asked him, I said, would you be interested in managing me? Mm-hmm. And he said, yes, I'd love to. So we talked about it and I signed up with him and he represented me for a while. And as many people know in the business, he no longer does that. You know, at a certain point, he just kind of dropped doing that and just was focusing on the club. But Mark was just wonderful to me, you know, and, you know, I did a New Year's Eve gig there, which is a big deal. He always kind of has me, not always, but I would say a majority of the time, has me work there in December because I can be, I don't have a very dirty act. I mean, there's a few words here and there, but it's not very dirty. And that's a big month for companies to come in and have, bring their employees in and, you know, have a night out and stuff like that. So I think that's a big part of the reason he likes to have me there this time of year. But he's just always been really, really good to me.
Yeah, that's great. And you know, it's funny. I guess around that 2001, 2002, I should have pulled Mark aside and said, do you want to manage me? But I never did that. So I guess that's why that never happened.
Yeah.
I didn't know it was that easy, but no, you were talented.
Oh yeah. It's still a couple words here and there. He was taking anybody on.
No, but Mark's helped me so much. Obviously I'm doing his show. So, you know, been at that,
Good man.
Yeah. Great man. Great man. One of the all timers in the business. Doesn't matter. Even if I talk to guys from out of state who only come in once every couple of years, they say the same thing.
Yeah.
All right.
And so, hey, I should, if you don't mind me plugging something, not for me, actually. I don't know if you're aware of this. I cleared this with Bill and he cleared it with Mark and everybody. Yeah. This Friday, I'm there Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Yeah. One show Thursday, two Friday, two Saturday. The two shows on Friday, there's going to be a special guest set. My buddy and everybody's buddy, Greg Warren.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
He's going to be doing a set. And the reason he's doing this set, just a short set each one, he's doing the Tonight Show the following Monday.
Oh, man. That's amazing. Good job.
So he's
Greg.
Anybody who's coming out or they listen to this and they want to, they're sick of my schmaltz. Greg's going to be doing a short set both shows so that he can get himself ready for Jimmy Fallon on Monday
night. Nice. Yeah. What's that? Maybe like 4 minutes or something, probably, if he's doing
five minutes. I got to do my.
Wow.
He texted me last week. He said, hey, I saw you at the castle. I'm going to be in the area. Can I run my set two times on Friday?
I said,
you bet.
Yeah. We had Greg maybe about a year ago, year and a half or something. He's great.
Yeah, very fun.
I never met him, but he was terrific. So, that's another reason to come out Friday night. You come out.
Yep.
That's the show to come to. Friday, see Greg Warren and the rest of the lineup. David Dyer. I had the lineup here. Good comics, though.
Who's featuring?
Andrew Yang, who's terrific.
Andrew Yang. Okay.
Was one of my students, but has made a name for himself all over. And my friend Dre Murray is going to be the MC. Dre is making his weekend debut at the Comedy Castle with you.
Nice.
But Dre's been around for a long time. He was a New York comic, and then he's been in Detroit for about a decade, and he's been doing a lot. He did a lot of shows with Mike Bonner. That's how I met him.
Okay, gotcha.
I met him through Mike, and then we became friends, and finally he's at the club, and that'll be nice, too. So
nice.
Yeah, he's funny. All right. Holiday time. It's December.
Yes.
Tell me about the holidays with Dave Dyer and family. What goes on?
My wife and I are empty nesters, so the girls are gone. Actually, one of my daughters lives right down in the air. She lives just actually down the street from the club.
All right.
And so that's my younger daughter. My older daughter lives out in Philadelphia. So holidays, Christmas, everything kind of very different than it used to be. My oldest daughter was not able to get home for Thanksgiving. She'll be home for Christmas. And then my younger daughter, you know, she gets up every few weeks and comes up for a day or two. But so, you know, we just have that little core family. Mm-hmm. We're going to get a Christmas tree this Sunday.
Okay. Yeah.
We still do the real tree. Mm-hmm. Actually, we did a fake one for a long time. And then I said, you know what? let's have a fire hazard in our living room.
Well, so, you'd be a guy to have a fire, you know?
Yes.
The irony there.
I know what's going on.
So
we're getting the real tree. I like the smell in the house. Do you like that or do you have the fake tree?
I have a fake tree. Yeah, I have a fake tree. I am in the process of, the tree is up, but it is not decorated. That is my wife's thing. She likes to do that. And I did the, put it up on my own.
Yep. Yeah. So I like the smell of the tree in the house. Mm-hmm. So we'll go. I think we're going Sunday. We're going to get a tree. But then, and like I said, my oldest daughter, is going to be coming home from Philadelphia. My youngest daughter will come up from the Detroit area. We'll probably go to, where are we going to go to? We're going to go to my brother's, I think.
Okay.
And then my wife's side of the family is very small. Mm. It's literally her brother and his wife, and they don't have any kids. And then it's my mother-in-law. That's it.
There you go.
That's so it's be very tight.
Yeah, but yep. that seems like that could be almost fun, and perhaps even relaxing without, not a lot of little kids running around.
Yep, it's not a big, huge thing anymore. Now, what about you?
Yeah.
As far as I don't want to turn the tables and become interviewer, but as far as is the gift purchasing, are you good at going out and getting gifts, or do you leave that to somebody else?
I will get gifts. I don't buy a lot of gifts. Me and my wife will do sort of Amazon wish lists for each other.
Okay.
And then you kind of pick from the wish list, and then so you kind of know what you're getting, but you kind of don't. I will, if anybody's going to do the surprising, I will do that.
Okay.
I bought her, one year, she opened up her Christmas gift, and it was a New York City coffee mug.
Okay.
And she goes, why is there a New York City coffee mug here? Well, okay. And I said, well, then look what's in the coffee mug. And there were two tickets to Aladdin on Broadway in New York City in the coffee mug.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, look, I thought that was going to go the Dave Dyer way where it's like, it's honey, it's sorry to get your hopes up. It's just a New York City mug.
But no, so
but good on you.
Yeah. And then, you know, that trip was in April of the next year, but it was still like, you want to see Aladdin on Broadway and, you know, we got to go see the Aladdin on Broadway. It was nice.
My wife, Janice, and I were just recently talking about bucket list items. Mm. And one of the things I would love to see, even if I get mugged, is I really want to see Manhattan at Christmas time.
Oh, I did it a few years ago.
And was it great?
It was great, but it is incredibly crowded to where, like, it makes me never want to do it again. I've actually done it twice. Once I was there, not for the holiday, but it was like mid-December, and I was seeing the Bruce Springsteen on Broadway show. So I had I went by myself, and then I had a friend in New York, and we hung out a little bit. But so I just happened to be there in December. But when me and my wife went, we went specifically to go for Christmas. We went and saw the Radio City Christmas Spectacular with the Rockettes, which I recommend you do. If you go, you go to that show. You go to that show. It's like five times a day. You can't miss it. You go to that Radio City show. There's nothing like it. It's the greatest.
Oh, okay.
The tree's kind of hard to see sort of prime time.
Okay.
You may want to go to that tree at like 10:30, 11 at night. if you're up, because when you're going there at like 8, it's just there's a million people. It's ridiculous.
Okay.
You almost can't, like, we could not get a good photo in front of the tree because we were there at prime time in Rockefeller Center. So that wasn't great. And it's also I think it's the most expensive time to visit Manhattan.
Oh, yeah, I can imagine. Yeah. You know what I love about this episode is that while we should be promoting the shows next week, I'm getting tons of valuable travel tips instead.
Well, yeah, if you don't want to see Dave Dyer, you can go to Manhattan and go to
you know what? The show sounds awful, but I'll tell you what we're going to do. If we see that tree, it's going to be late at night.
The Radio City show, much better than Dave Dyer at the Comedy Cast. So just putting it out there. No offense to you.
Hey, listen, again, I'll do whatever if I have to, I will come out next weekend in that Rockettes outfit if I have to. I won't be kicking anything, but you'll get the gist.
There's a tree. So, there's a tree at the farmer's market that's very nice.
Okay.
You can see in Northern
Royal Oak. Good.
Actually, you know, there is a holiday festival every weekend in Royal Oak in December.
Oh, nice.
So if you're coming to see Dave, you can go to the park. I believe the ice skating is free on many of those nights if you want to do a little skate in the park. And they have holiday vendors and music and food vendors and trucks and stuff like that. So it's nice.
Come by the show. Have a couple giggles. Show. Get yourself an ornament.
There you go. That's it. That's what we're doing. Fun time.
Yep.
Yeah. So that's it. And then New Year's Eve. Are you working?
I am. Yeah.
Where are you going? What's that?
I am at a place down in Columbus, Indiana. There's this place. It's actually a movie house that they do comedy once in a while. And it's just a great crowd. and it's called the Yes Cinema.
Okay.
And I've done a few shows there over the years, over many, many years. And the guy who runs it, a guy named Randy, just really likes my act. And he contacted me a few months ago. He said, "Are you booked New Year's Eve?" I said, "Nope." He goes, "We'd love to have you." So I'm going to go down there and do that show. And it's a, you know, I do the Bob and Tom show a fair amount.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's a good Bob and Tom market. So I'm going to promote it on there. And it should be fun. Columbus, Indiana is it's kind of it's about 45 minutes south of Indianapolis. And it's actually a really cool little town.
I feel like I did comedy there once. Oh, is that the town? Is that the town with all of the mid-century modern architecture? Is that that?
Yes.
Town?
Yes, that's I've what been I was just going to say.
That's a cool town.
There's some great, it's this town in the middle of Indiana, and there's just some great architecture.
Yes.
And also, for any petrol, well, I guess it wouldn't be petrol heads, but gearheads, it is the home and headquarters of Cummins Diesel.
Oh.
You know, the big diesel engines for trucks and stuff?
Okay, there you go.
Yeah.
I'm trying to find this. Okay, I got a hot tip for you. And actually, anyone. I'm a movie guy. I like good movies. I went to film school. I did all that. There's a movie called Columbus from 2017. It was shot in Columbus, Indiana.
Oh, cool.
And it
What's
was
it
at
about?
The Sundance Film Festival. It's about a guy who gets stranded in Columbus.
Uh-oh.
It's a guy named John Cho. He was from Harold and Kumar.
Okay.
But it's not a comedy.
Okay.
It's this drama. And the girl is, and he meets this girl who's into architecture, who's Haley Lou Richardson. She was on the Sicily Dark Lotus season. You might know her from that if you know that one. But it's a nice drama, and all of this architecture is shot in gorgeous cinematography, and it's kind of this nice little sort of coming of age movie with like a 40-year-old guy. But it's super
very
sweet.
Cool.
And it's on Tubi, it says here. So you could watch it for free.
Oh, okay.
How about that? So go on Tubi, Columbus. It's great.
Well, I can verify that it's a very cool town. And it's one of those towns that you drive around and you notice the architecture right away.
Yeah.
It's very cool.
I worked there with Bill Hildebrandt at a bar.
Okay.
And I remember staying at the Red Roof Inn.
Okay.
Behind the Menards. But as I drove to the gig, I did see some cool architecture. Not as much as
I was going to say.
Because when I saw that movie, I saw the movie years later, and I was like, oh, yeah, I was in that town. It looked so much cooler in the movie. But, hey, you gotta know where to go.
Yeah.
I did not know when I was there. But, yeah, Columbus, that's cool. Hopefully the weather's good for you. You know, you drive in. That's one of the big hazards for comedians. A lot of people don't realize that is the hitting a deer. Any snowstorm, any of that? What's your worst road travel hell story?
Well, my worst, I'll tell you a couple things real quick. Probably the worst gig I ever did was in a town called Painesville, Ohio.
Okay.
And it's just east of Cleveland.
Okay.
And it was the most, it was one of these things where it was at the point in my career where I just moved up from emceeing to featuring. Yeah. I'm the middle act. And the headliner was a super nice guy, a guy out of Cleveland named Charlie Weiss. Mm-hmm. And he did a great job, man, but was super nice. But the gig took place in this building that when you went through the front doors, it was the most surreal combination of things. To the left was the comedy club, and it was kind of this cool old little theater. Mm-hmm. Probably only seated about 150, 200 people, but it was this little theater. But if you went to the door and to the right, it was a tanning and bikini shop.
Okay.
So that was to the right. To the left was the comedy club. And you stayed in this house that the guy who owned the place, this house behind the business that this guy owned, and his parents lived in the main floor, and then you stayed upstairs.
Oh, God.
And his parents were both deaf and yelled at top volume to hear each other the whole time. And the upstairs itself looked like something that if a crack addict walked into it, a crack addict would go, oh, I got to straighten this up. It was just, there was a, do you know Steve Iatt?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Stevie tells the same story. He and I laugh about this place all the time because there, as far as a shower or anything, there was a bathtub and the bathtub was literally in the middle of the floor. And there was just like, they'd run a pipe up through the floor straight up to connect, to get this thing water and then drain. And it was just sitting literally in the middle of the floor in this upstairs apartment.
Good God.
But the crowds were just, I mean, it was, I mean, you know, when you get to that point when you've moved up from MC to feature and you're just scared to death at every show, you're like, I just hope I can fill my, you know, what they're expecting of me.
And that time. And you might have even been, you know, another thing I always tell my comedy students about this. I go, when you go to when you go on the road as a feature, a lot of times it's a two comic show. So even if you move from MC to feature, you're still going up cold. But now you got to do 30 minutes in a lot of them, and that's tough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There used to be a gig, and this is also right when I started feature, in Saginaw. It was called the Saginaw Comedy Club,
owned. Yeah, did it.
Oh, did you do it?
Old Jack.
The old Moose Lodge.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it was Jack. One of the bits of advice he gave me, he goes, I want you to be dirty, swear as much as possible. he said, clean comics are killing the business. That's what he said to me. So that gig, there was no MC in that gig. Yeah. He had the radio playing in the back of the room.
Yeah.
And he told me, he goes, I'm going to turn the volume up. And then I'm going to turn it down and I'm going to point to you. And when I do that, you head up to the stage.
That was that guy, old Jack, worst toupee you could ever find.
Oh,
in your
my
life.
Gosh.
The worst toupee.
Yeah. Just awful. Just awful. And then, you know, he also owned the place up in Traverse City.
Traverse City. Yeah. I did that one, too.
Yep.
Is Jack not around? I take it.
I can't imagine he was. He was really old when I worked for him 25 years ago.
Yeah. Well, rest in peace, Jack. You live. I mean, look, we should all be happy that 20 years later, people are talking about you.
Yep. And I'll bet you that toupee is still alive somewhere.
The toupee lives underground. It's growing into the earth.
Yeah. Yep. Have you ever thought about, now you still have a full head of hair, right?
I do. Yeah. For the most part. Yeah.
Would you ever look at doing the plugs or anything like that?
I would say probably no. Only because, I mean, look, I'm married. I don't have a lot of vanity as it is. I try to look nice, but you know, vanity is not. So if it became a thing where, you know, I went, but I would shave it off. I'd do what you do. You know, you look great. And
thank
but
you.
The other
appreciate
thing that you
Joel.
Have, and here's the thing, and you tell me if this is the reasoning behind it, I don't know, but my thing is I have a good head of hair. I'm in terrible shape, but I got a nice head of hair. I got that going for me. You are in great shape and not as much hair.
Well, here's the thing. I'm in pretty good shape. I'm not as good a shape as I was 4 or 5 years ago. Okay. I still work out a lot and I'm still in good shape. But I'm older. I'm 57. Give me a break. Everybody back off.
Exactly.
But you know, I would never do the plug things. First of all, I've heard it's incredibly painful.
Yeah.
And doesn't always take. I think literally, and I'm not trying to be funny here, I think Joe Buck has had it done 4 or 5 times.
I'm sure, yeah. All those guys,
because he's had to keep having it done. Yeah. He's running out of hair in the back of his head to put up top. So it sounds painful, but you know what? Also, you get to a point in life, Joel, where you're just like, look at everyone. This is what it is. All right. You know, you may not like it, but you're all going to be here soon.
Yeah, it's fine.
So it's fine. This is what it is.
It is. You got to go to the people go to Turkey for that, too. I know that's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, is that a big hair restoration?
Yeah, if you go
country?
Turkey leads the world in hair restoration.
Oh, I did not know
and
that.
I don't know why that is, but that's what they say. If you go to. Like if you fly to Turkey from the United States, you just see guys all going to get like I saw a picture once on the internet. It was like just all like, you know, domes, you know, all the way from the back of the plane to the front. And then I think everybody comes home in bandages and hats.
I'd love to see that before and after flight.
I'd love to see that. The reason to get it done, right? Go there and do that.
Yeah.
I watched a movie and I saw, I was watching a TV show actually. It's called Malice. It's on Prime. It's pretty good. David Duchovny, who's got to be 60-something years old now, right?
He's well into 60s.
And still a good-looking guy, and I think a very good actor. I think an underrated actor. There's a scene he goes in the water in Greece, and he comes up, and it's like, it's obvious he had the plugs.
Oh, sure. Because it's the symmetrical rows.
Yeah, it was like a little it was a little too neat up there. But when it's dry, it looks great. And in his business, maybe he needs to do that.
Yeah.
Maybe
here's what I don't like that's going on. Yeah. A lot of guys my age are dyeing their hair.
Oh,
and you've noticed that, right?
Yeah, I see that. Yeah.
And it's always like the same color. It's this it's this kind of wood chip brown color that is like so obvious, not a natural color. It's got a little bit of a burgundy to it.
Yeah, it's got like an orangey sort of tinge, like when the light hits it. You're like, that's not a human hair color.
Everyone's walking around like, I don't think people can tell that I dyed my hair, you know? And you're like, yes, we can.
Well, you know
first of all, your eyebrows are still gray.
Yeah.
So that kind of gave it away.
We were at the club the other night and Bill Lodge, who works with me, said, this guy looks different, older guy, you know, comic. And I go, I think he stopped dyeing his hair.
Yeah.
And Bill goes, oh, he looks like shit now. I go, yeah, so that's why you do it, I guess.
There's the motivation.
You look like you got a foot in the grave, you know, because it looks like, oh, this guy could go in any minute. Because I'm going gray, I think, somewhat gracefully. I don't know. I'm trying.
Yeah.
You tell me when you see me this weekend coming up.
I'll let you know. My hair is so gray. Part of the reason I keep it so tight on top is that I literally, if I let my hair go for a week, Joel, without trimming it, I look 93. it's everything is so gray. So I keep it pretty tight so that I can at least, you know, somewhat look like I'm in my 50s.
Well, hey, listen.
So
the audience, they're aging with you, and then they're fans, and you know, you get the fans have been with you, and you get new fans that come see you.
There you go.
The kids of your fans will be coming out this weekend at the Comedy Castle. I think
I'll take them wherever they want.
I think that's what we want. We need that. And Mark knows that. Yeah. Mark knows that.
Yeah.
And that's why, you know, you go, well, these young guys are headlining the club. And I go, well, you know what? You can't, you know, people, there's a thing. And I heard this about comedy. I think maybe Mark Maron said this originally or somebody said, you know, people want to watch when you want to watch an entertainer, a singer, whatever. As a young person, you want somebody your own age.
Sure.
And that doesn't mean that, you know, they're the best people. That's not why young people gravitate towards certain entertainers. They gravitate towards people that they can relate to or people that they could aspire to actually be or be friends with.
There's an instant familiarity and a comfort level when you're talking with somebody or watching somebody who's of a similar age and has had similar experiences.
Yeah. So that's
a natural thing.
So that's why I think, you know, some people are afraid of young comics, but you know, you want to have people come to the club. You know, you have these clubs and we've all played the clubs where they cater to the older folks, and then 5 years later they're out of business.
They're out of business. Yeah.
You know, you gotta have some youth in there. So that's good.
Yeah.
But that's what we got openers for.
And this is why I'm thinking of going back to college. Just for this reason. Try to get a whole new demographic. Mm-hmm. Now, how old are you, Joel?
I'm 53, so I'm not far
from you're 53. Yeah, right. 53, and I'm 57.
Yeah.
Haven't you found one of the beauties of becoming this age, though, is for me, is that my filter on life is so finely tuned at this point.
To
where you look back on your life and all the stupid crap that you wasted time and energy on.
Yeah.
And at this age, I mean, you can just very quickly surmise any sort of situation, relationship or anything. You can just go, nah, it's not worth my time.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean that in good and bad ways, too. I mean, in good ways, too, where you're like, I've been through this before. This is going to go absolutely nowhere. I know I'm being a bit rude, but I'm saving both of us a lot of time.
It is. And I found that even having a career in stand-up comedy, when I look back at things that I worried about or people, I'd be jealous of gigs people got. And now I realize after getting some of those gigs myself where it's like, oh, you're opening for some rock band at some big venue. Yeah. It's like, oh, that's going to be terrible. That guy's going to bomb his ass off at that gig.
Yeah.
I mean, it's cool to say you did it, but you know, once you've done it, you can't be jealous of those anymore because you go, oh, God.
Yeah. You know, and that's another thing. I don't know about you, but you know, I also, and I certainly talk a little bit about my act, but obviously I do comedy, but I'm also a firefighter. Yeah. So I've got these kind of two careers, but I do see friends of mine and guys that I came up with who are doing very well and wonderful for them. Great for them. But I look at their calendar and they're like gone every weekend. And you think, wow, they're doing really well. Yeah. And then there's the other side that goes, that sounds horrible.
Yeah, I've done
all
that
the
gig.
Traveling. I've done that gig. I've been in that city. Yeah. There's nothing going on. The only fun you're going to have is the 50 minutes you're on stage.
Yeah.
You know,
because you go.
So there's that.
Well, it's you have a thing be having two careers and me now, you know, when I took the job at the Comedy Castle, you know, full time and basically agreed when I got hired to leave the road for the most part. Is now I go, I'm glad, you know, why did I go to the UP in the winter? Because I needed the money. And now I go, I live 2 miles from the Comedy Castle and I can go there and I'm making, you know, good money and doing my thing and, you know, not risking my life.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. And I look at that and go, I'm glad I don't have to do that now. And when I see people doing it, I see sort of younger comics and maybe people that went through my class or whatever, and they're doing some of these gigs that I did. And it's like, oh, God, that was a nightmare. But to them, they're excited, you know?
It is. And that's exactly what I was going to say. But at that age, it's an adventure. Mm-hmm. You're thrilled. I may drive 2 hours and only get 5 minutes on stage, but you're thrilled that you got to do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's not until you reach our age where you realize that's going to get you nowhere.
Well, you know, you pay your dues. That's what that is. You pay your dues. And when you've paid your dues, you're in the club.
Yep, exactly.
And we're in the club, baby. We're doing it.
You got it.
All right. So. Well, let's wrap it up, man. This was great. It's always great. That's why you're on. Listen, people, we started out this conversation talking about how many times Dave's on the show and Dave's at the club. And that's because he brings it. He brings He's starting conversations. He's asking questions himself. He's doing he's an all arounder. This guy.
No one word answers from this guy.
That's it.
There you go.
Well, Dave, real pleasure, and we'll see you this weekend, and it's going to be a blast.
Thanks, Joel. Looking forward to it. I'll see you then.
All right, dude. Sounds good. Thank you.
You bet. Bye bye. Bye bye.
All right, guys. Dave Dyer. There it is. Fun show for sure. Always a good interview and always a great set. Leaves him laughing. One of the all timers in my comedy career, a guy that consistently have those shows. There's guys that do that. There's guys, doesn't matter what the crowd is, they always have a great show. And I think David's one of them. There's a few guys, Bill Hildebrand, who I mentioned on this show, who's kind of my more mentor in this business as far as working the road and stuff. Bill always had a great show. There's a guy named Billy Ray Bauer. Always has a great show from Metro Detroit. Never seen Billy have a tough time up there. Billy always has a great show. So there's guys that can do it, and David's one of them. So this is the weekend to come on out. Like Dave says, you can bring anybody. It's not too dirty. A couple of words here and there. But it's a fun time. It's relatable. That's why people on YouTube said, hey, you know, this guy should be on TV. I like guys, what was the quote again? I like guys who aren't famous yet because they have to work hard. That's a great comment. I love that. I love backhanded compliments. That's one of my, nothing makes me laugh more than that. But it's always a great weekend when you're a comic that you can work the Comedy Castle. And it's great to have Dave back. And thanks to you guys for listening. Thanks to you guys for showing up in the snow and all the nasty weather we've had. If you've come out for any of these shows, the Detroit to LA's and the 101 comedy graduation that we had the other night was fun. It's just been a lot of good stuff. And we want to thank you guys for listening and supporting Mark Ridley's Comedy Castle. Come on Friday. Greg Warren's popping on. Come on. That'll be great. All right, guys, let's get out of here. Thanks for listening to the Comedy Castle podcast. We'll catch you next week. Bye-bye.